Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Oh man, it's time for the bullpen, starring the one and only Joe George.
Thanks, Joe.
Listen and be fascinated as the longtime producer becomes untethered by lesser talent and can truly talk sports the way he was meant to, with no reins or restrictions, with stellar takes and perfect diction.
I'm assistant regional manager. I should know first.
Assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah, okay.
Now, live from X Golf Katy, it's the bullpen with Joe George.
Welcome into the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am Joe George. We are live at X Golf in Katy. I am here joined by my guy, Fred Davis.
What's up,
Joe?
We're
going to be here till 3 o'clock. The Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Brandon will be here after that. Before we get into the station stuff that we're going to talk about, this place is incredible, Fred.
It's huge, man.
It's huge. The golf simulators, I cannot wait till Joel gets here so I can leave him here at this table by himself and embarrass myself playing golf, because I'm not good at golf. I will say that.
That makes two of us.
Oh, so you're not going to like go out there and hit like 350?
No. Look, don't get it twisted. When your boy connects, it's on and popping.
But you have to connect.
That's the issue.
Yeah, so they've got a bunch of stuff, great stuff going on this weekend. They're going to do a Beat the X Golf team competition. It's happening today through Sunday. People can come in and put a scramble score together to try and beat the X Golf team. No entry fee, unlimited attempts. So if you want to be here for 3-4 hours, whatever it's going to take, unlimited attempts. They're going to have raffle giveaways all weekend. You have free golf lessons, tailor-made golf bags, a custom tailor-made driver. So they're going to have a bunch of stuff going on. Great drink specials going on all weekend. $3 beers, draft beer, $2 bottles and cans, 20% off all food, 20% off all golf with a two-hour minimum reservation. So, like, they've got it all this weekend at X Golf Katy, and we're here till 6 o'clock. So before we get into, like, the meat of the show today, we got a ton of stuff to get into. I got a Chiefs fan sitting to my left.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Chiefs-Texans stuff to talk about, I think, like, big picture. So I'm going to get Freddie's take here on that in a second. But if you're living under a rock, we have been mostly national this week on 97.5, some mix and match between 10 and 3. We are going to start our full new lineup on Monday. So starting on Monday, John and Lance will be on from 7 to 10 a.m., as always. The Del Olale Show will be on from 10 to noon. He will have that produced by Sean Mapes from 12 to 3. Going forward, starting Monday, will be Gallant and George, so myself and Paul Gallant. And then, of course, we'll have the Killer Bees from 3 to 6 and Brian McDonald producing that show. Mapes will be producing for Paul and I. I'm super pumped. I'm excited. It's been a long road. I've been in Houston for like 9 years now, coming up in April. So I'm really excited to work with Paul, but I'm also excited to work with you today.
I appreciate that. You and I want to say we met each other at 610, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
That's what I thought.
We probably would have met each other at Gal my first stint when I was here, because then we worked together again at 610.
Right. Yes, we did.
And then now we're back together again.
Yes,
so I've known
did.
You for probably like 8 years now,
at
on
least,
and off.
At least.
So the big thing, you know, going into free agency this year, let's just dive right into it. Okay, agency this year for the Texans, there's always like the fans that want kind of like the big ticket item. They see these big names, you know, T. Higgins, Mike Evans, you know, Jalen Johnson. But the one that you know very well is your man from the Chiefs, Chris Jones.
Yeah, I've heard his name getting thrown around as a Texans target.
Now, I saw a Bleacher Report projection, which was like 3 years, $116 million, $29 million a year. Tell me about Chris Jones, because I was looking at your Twitter timeline yesterday doing some snooping, Freddie D.
Yeah,
and I saw some questions of effort.
That's a gnarly timeline, bro.
I saw some questions of effort
timeline
for Chris Jones.
I'm not saying anything that is from anybody that's watched football, or especially, and look, obviously, being the Chiefs fan that I am, I watch every game. No, look, his effort level has been called into question several times. Now, that being said, was he pretty dadgum good in the playoffs? And that's the issue with Chris Jones is when that dude's locked in, when he's got his mind right. I'll tell you what, outside of Aaron Donald, I would say he even gives him a shove or gives him a run for his money sometimes. He's the best nose tackle in the National Football League, right? I mean, you're talking about a guy that's 6'5", 320 pounds, moves the way he does, can move up and down the line, right? And so again, you saw. Hey, look, we don't win a Super Bowl if and you know, we get caught up in this whole idea where sacks and quarterback hits and whatever else. I mean, look, if he doesn't A, hit the lineman into Josh Allen against Buffalo, mm-hmm. that's a touchdown. He hit the dude into Brock Purdy where he airmailed the ball. I think it was to Jenkins in the first half against the 49ers in the Super Bowl. And those are the kind of plays, that's the kind of stuff that Chris Jones does. You're going to, I mean, look, he's got 3 Super Bowls, right? The question you got to ask yourself is, I mean, of course, he said on the parade, "Oh, I'm not going anywhere." I mean, come on, you're talking
nonsense.
About booze. You're
he's partying.
It's flowing, dude. Everybody's in a good mood. I get it, you know. And of course, the Chiefs, being the Chiefs, went ahead and already signed a new punter. That's another story for another time. Look, if you brought him in as a Houston Texan, you ain't getting out. I mean, I'm thinking a 4-year, $110 million deal, because let's call it what it is. When you talk about these deals that have been done by these D linemen and that 4-year, $100 million, that's kind of the range that it's been the last couple seasons. The question I have, especially if you're a team looking at kicking the tires on a Chris Jones, do you want to pay a 33-year-old Chris Jones, and again, depending upon what the team does, do you want to be on the hook for $30 million a season for him 2-3 years down the line?
Yeah, I mean, like, I like the idea of it. I like the idea of Chris Jones, a Houston Texan. Like, he is a massive impact player, and like, putting him on the same
he's your
side.
He's your best defensive player.
Yeah, I mean, like, him and Will Anderson on the same D-line is monstrous. Like they would cause wreak havoc against quarterbacks all the time.
Well, you wouldn't be able to double-team either one.
Exactly.
Or if you did, then, okay, pick
the other
poison.
One's fine. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
But, like, it's the age thing. It's you get to 33 years old, and you talk about, like, let's say you're right, a 4-year contract. Even if the back end of that is mostly non-guaranteed, that's a 37-year-old defensive lineman who's going to be making $30 million. Like, if it might help you get to a Super Bowl or to at least an AFC title game in the first 2-3 years, but there's still a chance that at some point that contract completely implodes and you're just like stuck with this massively expensive player.
That's a first-world problem, though. So let me ask you this, though. So with that, what you just said, if I told you right now, and if I told Texans fans out there right now, you're going to pay $115 million, 4 years, $115 million, player option for the 4th year, right? Because that would probably close the deal, somewhere between $75 to $85 million guaranteed, mm-hmm. right? If I told you that in the next 2 to 3 years, you're going to be in a Super Bowl, all right, or you're going to be in an AFC Championship game with Chris Jones, if you make that move, and then you're going to be stuck with that deal, you know, maybe he lops in on the 4th year, I don't know a Texan fan that's not taking that.
No, of course, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, that's a first world problem. You know what I mean?
It's like the Justin Verlander trade. Like, everyone got all upset about Drew Gilbert and these like and the young prospects being traded.
Please.
Like, who cares? Like, if you go
they're
back
both prospects for a reason.
Yeah, if you go back to a World Series with Justin Verlander,
so what?
Does it matter? Hell, even if you just go to 9 straight ALCSs, it's probably worth the trade.
I want a parade.
So, like, that's where I'm with you. Like, I'm with you that if the end result is that, it does not matter what the contract is. You could sign Mike Evans, T. Higgins, any of these guys, and if the end result is the team's success, that's all that really matters. I'm not sure a guy like Chris Jones, as good as he is and as great as he is,
yeah.
They have like 35 free agents right now.
Who, the Texans?
Yeah. They have 72, somewhere between 59 and like $83 million in cap space.
Right.
I have no idea what the real number is because it's going to go up.
Yeah.
But you have all these guys you got to sign. I don't know how you spend $30 million on one football player, whether it's Chris Jones or not. Like, you have all these gaps you got to fill.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're in that. And look, the defensive line didn't play poorly this year.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, but you know, you're, and here's the thing: if you're the Texans, you would have to overpay for a Chris Jones, right? Like that's just the reality of it. Because I mean, and, you know, but at the same time, too, you know, from a contender standpoint, I mean, are you spending that kind of money? See, the thing I see with a Chris Jones is he's going to get one of those kind of like middling teams, right? Like a team that was a 7-10, 8-9, somewhere in there. Like, I see him, because at the end of the day, look, he's, like I said, he's already got his 3 Super Bowls. This is the last big contract that Chris Jones is going to get, and again, he's going to be 30 years old. I don't know what the market is for, you know, and then maybe after a 2-3 year run, he's a, you know, a mercenary for hires, my boy Teddy J used to say, you know, just go bounce around on 1-year deals. Or at that point, I mean, hell, he's already made $90 million for crying out loud. So when it's all said and done, you know, if you're Chris Jones and you've had a 10-12 year run and you've made over $200 million, and maybe you take, because I'll tell you what, if you were able to get the Texans to an AFC championship, or God forbid, you know, I say this as a Chiefs fan,
yeah,
beat the Chiefs, And if it was a Chiefs-Texans AFC Championship game and Chris Jones balls out, I mean, whoo, I'll tell you what, that'd be a story for days.
Well,
I'll
tell you this, Whitfred. I was not looking at my phone. I'm a responsible driver, okay?
Okay.
Apparently 20 minutes ago,
yeah,
the news broke officially. The salary cap for 2024, it increased $30 million.
Ooh.
It is going to be $255 million, which I think that puts the Texans around somewhere, like I said, like $80 million in cap space. So maybe, I don't know if that means Chris Jones' market automatically just like
it
correlates.
It absolutely does.
So I probably, that means he's like a $35 million player, maybe a $38 million player.
I don't know that you, he's not going to be, look, you're not giving him quarterback money. That's, you're just not doing it.
Yeah.
That would be football malfeasance, malpractice if you did something like that. He's not, I mean, look, there's quarterbacks that are getting that kind of money that have zero business making $38 to $40 million. That's why I'm really intrigued by what to see your boy Baker Mayfield's going to do this offseason.
Oh, and Kirk Cousins. What is Kirk
Cousins? Kirk Cousins going to get paid. But, I mean, at the same time, too, I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, he's had, what, two guaranteed contracts over the last two or three seasons or last, you know, two or three contracts, whatever it's been. Look, again, he's going to be somewhere in that $30 to $32 million a year range. I feel pretty confident about that. And, again, like I said, I think it's going to be – you're not signing him for more than a four-year deal. It just makes – and look, maybe somebody does. Maybe that's what gets him over the – maybe that's what gets somebody over the hump. Maybe some team that you don't expect comes out of nowhere and says, all right, we're going to give him four years of the player option for a fifth, and then that's a wrap.
I would be open to a three-year deal for about $100 million for Chris Jones.
Okay.
That would be probably where I would cap out at. Because I just, because I guess I am one of those guys that I look at the free agency right now and I go, I would like the Texans to find a way to get one big ticket item. Whether that's Chris Jones or Snead or Jalen Johnson or, you know, T. Higgins or Mike Evans. Like, those are the guys that I am intrigued by. I think that Nick Caserio has shown that he can construct and build a roster under tight financial situations. I mean, like, the first two years he had the job, they had the worst cap space in the NFL. So, like, I think he can find a way to fill the roster. And C.J. Stroud is good enough to elevate other positions, and so should be D'Amico Ryans, that you can afford one big-ticket lottery guy.
But and here's the reality of it. You got to do it.
Okay? I think you
do. I mean, you have to. I mean, look, let's call it what it is. Every team that's good has a big-ticket guy on their roster, whether it's offense, defense, or whatever. Like, you got to have – I mean, look at that 49ers defense, right? I mean, you got Joey Bosa making, stupid money. You got Fred Warner making crazy dollars, right? We already know what's going on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you know, you look at Buffalo, you look at Baltimore, look at the Chiefs. I mean, you're going to have – now, obviously, they've got some guys that are taking, you know, less than market value. But, look, I think this – I'm going to be very, very – excited for Texans fans this offseason, because for the first time in his tenure as Texans GM, Nick Caserio is operating from a position of strength as opposed to a deficit, right? The conversation was, you know, one-year deal, we're building this thing, you know, come on. I mean, you know, literally just trying to sell guys. I mean, you got Robert Woods, for crying out loud, right? Now, you got lucky with Steven Nelson. Okay, I mean, this is a guy that's bounced around forever today, but played pretty dadgum good football for you. Robert Woods, you might as well cut him, because that's $6 million that's going to get added to your salary cap if you do it. But now you've got a playmaker on offense in C.J. Stroud, who for my money, is the second best quarterback in the National Football League. You got Will Anderson,
Fred.
Absolutely. We can talk about that later, but obviously, fitting is my guy. That's a no brainer. But if you told me today, all right, if you can't take Pat Mahomes, who are you starting a franchise with?
CJ
Stroud all day, every day, and it's not even close. And then you got Will Anderson on that defensive side, Jalen Petrie. Hopefully, he stays a little more. And then, of course, I've got to give a shout out to my boy Montgomery Rocky, who's been on that Derek Stingley bandwagon for a minute. Little bummed out he got hurt early in the year, but I'll tell you what, he bounced back in a huge way. And had a better year than Sauce Gardner. Let's call it what it was.
For that
100%.
That draft pick, you know, it's so funny. Like, I think back to like week one, week two of the season, and just like right in the preseason when he was hurt. And the conversations around Derek Stingley Jr. and Nick Caserio was like, is Nick Caserio like basically a bad general manager before the season starts, because you're drafting this player that once again is not hurt on the field this year, lockdown corner,
monster.
No one wanted to throw to him. Like, that's why I almost, if it's not Chris Jones, I kind of am starting to lead towards, like, if I want to spend money, I would love to go get a big time cornerback. Like, I would love to make a move like that, and then you have Stingley. And, I mean, my favorite is Jalen Johnson. I don't think he's going to be a Bear next year. I think they're going to mess that up. They're not going to tag him.
Yeah.
So, like, I think he's going to be a free agent. And, like, I would pay him and Sting to be on both your sides on defense. And you're locked down. Like you need it because, like, if you want to beat Patrick Mahomes, if you want to beat Joe Burrow and, and these quarterbacks, having those two foundational pieces, one on a cheap deal, one on very expensive, you're just set up in a massive, massive way. But I would love Chris Jones, too. Like, I want one guy, Fred. I want one guy to come in and, like, give me a lottery ticket.
Yeah. No, and look, and again, if you're going to take that next step as a franchise, like, we're done. Like, Texas fans, I think most folks have got this, have understood this now. Like, we're out of the doldrums phase.
100%. Okay. It's winning now.
Like, you know, and I mean, look, your boy Cal McNair, like, people like him again. Okay. Like, I don't hear any more Tommy Boy references. Okay. I mean, Hannah's getting all kinds of love. Okay. So, you know, now suddenly, everybody who was dogging Cal two, three seasons ago, and look, I came on these exact airwaves, you know, 4 or 5 months ago and said, you know, fire Nick Caserio after Stingley got hurt. And, of course, I came back and retracted those statements, said, look, I was wrong. I owe my boy an apology. But, you know, look, I would – whether it's Snead, whether it's Chris Jones, and, again, you're going to have – I think you're going to have some cut casualties here before too long and when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
I think if you're a Texans fan right now, you – I mean, for your boy Caserio to turn this thing around in 3 years, for as lean and for as dark as those David Culley, Lovie Smith years were, think about this now. You were a playoff team last year. You're the best team in the AFC South. You've got, in my mind, the second-best quarterback in the National Football League, and you've got your offensive coordinator who's still there. You got your boy D'Amico.
Yep.
Boy, it's a good first-world problems as a Texans fan.
Oh,
right,
it's wild to think that, like, last year, or I guess, like, you know, late 2022, you know, if you're doing sports radio, you're talking about C.J. Stroud,
dude.
Bryce Young, like, who they're going to draft in, like, October. And now it's all about – I'm excited for the draft this year, but since they're picking 23, all I'm focused on is free agency. I'm ready for the season to come back. It's like the first time I felt about the Texans that I'm just excited for football to be back. Like, you know, they always talk about, you know, people always say, like, what are you going to do when football's over? I don't know. When the Texans were playing, I was like, yeah, you're going to come to X-Golf. That's what you should do every single Sunday. This place is absolutely incredible. We're going to be out here all day. They do have X-Golf memberships that you can get as well. Their junior program, it's $200 a month or $2,000 annually paid in full. 4 anytime hours per month, 4 hours a week, Monday through Thursday before 4 p.m. 10% off sim rentals after membership hours have been exhausted. 10% off food and non-alcoholic beverages. And members can only booking up to 1 month in advance, but still a great deal. $200 a month. You get to come out here, play some golf. We know what it's going to be like in the summer, Fred. It's going to be too hot to golf. I don't understand how John Granato does it. He goes out and golfs every single day. It's 100 degrees outside. I would be a miserable human being. It's why I don't golf. And now my life's going to change because I'm going to start golfing again because I can come inside.
It's nice
AC.
And air-conditioned.
Exactly, air-conditioned.
Right.
That's all that matters. But you were just talking about the doldrums of the Texans.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, in this town, once again, after the All-Star break, the Rockets prove we are not out of the doldrums for the Houston Rockets. He's Fred Davis. I'm Joe George. We are live at X Golf Katy here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to two miscreants creeping around in the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios. Inside golf simulators of X Golf Katy. It's the bullpen.
Joe George, Fred Davis here with you till 3 o'clock. We're live at X Golf in Katy. I'm curious to see what Joel Blank does when he arrives, if he's going right to his simulator.
I mean, why wouldn't he?
I mean, I would imagine he's bringing his clubs with him today.
Does Joe got, Joe, does Joel have game when it comes to golf?
You know, they say they golf. Both.
Oh, I mean, that means nothing.
But
to
it doesn't
me.
Mean
I could say I golf.
It doesn't mean they have game.
And ask me, and he asked my boy Henry Thomas about me golfing.
It's not good. You know, last night was not good for the Houston Rockets, Fred. They go play the New Orleans Pelicans. They lose 127-105. Coming out of the All-Star break, losing by 22 points.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I'm trying so hard to want to, like, buy in. Like, Amen Thompson was great last night.
Yeah.
I love watching
him
play.
I'm a big fan of his.
You know, Cam didn't have his best game. I like him a lot still. Şengün, he's still a really good player. But it is at times, a very challenging watch for the Houston Rockets. And frankly, like, it all centers around Jalen Green. Jalen Green last night goes 3-for-14.
Mm-hmm.
He's inefficient. He's 2-for-8 from the three-point line. Like, he's just not having good games. And there's been all this discourse and discussion on Twitter about, you know, benching Jalen Green or lineup changes and,
right,
you know, Jalen Green getting in, you know, Rockets media members or Rockets fanboys, you know, DMs and talking about how they're misusing him and all that stuff. And
that's a little troubling.
It's exhausting. Like,
that would concern me.
Yeah. Like, he is so, he always does these things where, like, you can tell he's listening and reading what people are saying on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because he does that Deshaun Watson vague Instagram post, like, at least once a month. And it's just, it's exhausting. Like, he is just not playing good enough basketball to have all that weird nonsense happening around him.
Look, we're in such a different age of professional athletics now.
Especially in the NBA.
Especially in the NBA. You know, I did a show with my boy Chris Hodge from Taking Vegas the other day, and we talked about how the NBA had a really, really huge opportunity this past weekend to kind of take the baton from the NFL and, you know, get people excited about the NBA again for this home stretch. Because let's call it what it is. There's only, like, what, 26, 27 games left,
yeah,
before the playoffs start. And, you know, you lay an egg, you spit the bit on the, you know, and where it was literally a historically bad All-Star game, right? And when we're talking about the Rockets, I think people at the same time, too, like, people need to, you know, to borrow a phrase from my boy Ice Cube, like, check yourself before you wreck yourself, okay? Like, this is a team that's been bad for the last three or four seasons. Like, Silas was terrible, okay? Mm-hmm. You had dudes who were basically just out there just freewheeling, doing whatever they want, and then you get Ime Udoka, who's a complete opposite, a 180 from what, you know, Silas was. Like, you know, I mean, look, I saw something from Anton Jameson the other day where he said in a podcast, there's dudes that he's seen with the Wizards who don't even know how to set a basic screen.
It's
okay.
The fundamentals of basketball are gone.
So do we think do we think Jalen Green is fundamentally sound? Of course not.
No, and I think it's to the point where, like, the thing about Jalen where it's to where I don't feel this way about Cam Whitmore and Amen Thompson because Udoka's here is, like, I don't know how much of him is fixable anymore because of Silas. Like, they let them do way too much. And I hear you about, you know, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah.
But the problem is, and this isn't the Rockets' problem,
mm-hmm,
the tone, I think, of the fan base in this city has changed because, you know, we went from one team that was so far above the rest in,
yeah,
the Astros.
Yeah.
And then you had the awful Texans, the awful Rockets, and you saw C.J. Stroud and the Texans take this massive leap this year.
Right.
And then you hire Udoka. So, like, we're going into this
who
year
to
with,
me,
like,
was the best coach 100%. And was the biggest addition of anybody.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Rockets are, you know, the two teams that just hired coaches that are already firing their coaches,
yeah,
halfway through the season or by the All-Star break like the Nets and the Bucks did. But I think the expectations for the Rockets were probably unfair this season. They also started the season playing much better basketball. Like, the first 20 games of the season or so, they were the number two defense in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like even if Jalen Green and some of these guys were going to come along slow and, you know, like, it was still going to be a learning curve, it did look like the Udoka effect was there right away in the organization. You felt so much better. Since the beginning of the season, all that hope and optimism that I felt watching the Rockets, of even if they didn't make the play-in tournament or the playoffs in general, there was going to be enough there. I feel,
yeah,
like I've lost all of that. I'll be honest. Like, I feel like all the hope I had, of, like, the good defense, it feels like it just vanished over the last 2 months.
I'll say this. Look, they're seven games under 500, right? And
could be worse.
It could be a lot worse. Like, I think – and look, I mean – I get it from a fan base perspective. Like, we want everything. We expect, well, you know, you look at the pieces. Like, this isn't 2K.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think folks need to, like, wrap their brain around that. Like, this is not a video game. You can't, oh, well, we added Fred Van Fleet. You know, Jalen Green should, you know, should take the leap. His awareness should go up. Blah, 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 you know? It doesn't work that way, right? I mean, the NBA, say what you want about the NBA. I mean, it's a tough league. It's a very...
Fred Stein.
Excuse me.
Fred Stein.
Excuse me. It's a tough league, right? And you got the Western Conference, which is loaded right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, look, you're talking about it. I mean, think about it. You got the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are number one in the Western Conference, and nobody's even talking about them.
I know.
Like, nobody expects boo out of them, okay? Everybody's riding this LA Clipper, and rightfully so. I mean, if I had to put my money on it, I'd go with the Clippers right now. It's a young team. You've got one of the best coaches in the NBA, and you've got a solid roster, and you've got a GM who has proven so far to be pretty adept at making trades, right? So, again, Would it be nice to shock the world and sneak into a play-in game? Absolutely it would. Could it still happen? Yeah. I mean, you know, you'd need to go on a little bit of a run. But at the same time, too, you've got a lot of young pieces. You've got a lot of bad habits you got to get out of. And I think with the Rockets, you had to see what you had in Jalen Green before you ship him off.
Yeah, no, I think that, like, and I definitely fall into this, you know, because the NBA has just changed so much in terms of even just, like, what happens when a guy enters a league. You know, Joel and Jeremy and I, when I was, you know, was still with the Bees, like, we talk about this all the time. That, you know, when, you know, 5 years ago, when you would draft a guy in the top five, you would expect that guy to come in
to play
and to make an immediate impact and be fundamentally sound. And, like, these guys are just not like that. I mean, hell, if the Rockets came to hang out with us here at X Golf Katie, like, at least half the roster, it feels like, couldn't even sit at the bar and have a drink of alcohol. Because, like, they're not.
Thompson couldn't.
Yeah, they're not 21 years old. So,
and Madison would never allow for that either.
Like, so, like, it's like they're such a young team. And that's where it is hard. It's hard to. You know, like, where the NBA is at today, it's so different that you don't have these guys coming in unless they're from not America and they're coming in and making an immediate impact. Like, unless you are getting these European players and overseas players who are, you know, developed much better. Because that's the one thing, like, from the All-Star break that I actually thought was the most interesting of all the stuff that Adam Silver did, besides also talking about how bad the All-Star game itself was
so bad.
Like, recognizing the fact that, like, the development of the NBA or the NBA players before they get here is a huge, massive problem. The hard part is like, that seems like an impossible problem to fix. Like, I can fix a bunch of different things in sports, I feel like, if you put me in a room with smart people. We're going to talk about the college football playoff later. You know, March Madness is coming up. Like, all these different things they've tried to fix and improve. I don't know how you fix the development of NBA players when it's AAU basketball that, like, starts the problem.
Well, that's just it. You know, until you get and you know, I saw something. Of course, it's Twitter, so who knows where I saw it. But they talked about the difference between European basketball and American basketball, right? And so you've got Europeans where they practice four or five times a week and only play two games a week, right? Whereas in the United States, in the NBA, you're practicing two times a week and you're playing three or four games, right?
Yeah.
So they just practice so much more. And that's why when you get a Jokic, you get a Luka, why you get a Wembanyama. I mean, a 7'4" dude should not be able to do what he does.
That dunk he had the other day, it literally looked like Space Jam.
Yeah.
Like, he literally put his arm up, and, like, it looked like – I guess it wasn't a dunk because he flipped it up there. But, like, he's extending his arm, and it literally looked like the end of Space Jam with Michael Jordan when the Monstars were holding him. It blew my mind. But, yeah, that's where – like, look, they have programs where, like, they go to school to play basketball. Mm-hmm. And, yes, they're still learning at the same time, but, like, they have these, like, developmental academies. Like, that is such a problem that, like, I'll probably be 50 – if they start trying to implement that stuff, I'm 32 years old. If they start trying to start that stuff now, I'll be 50 before we see, like, the real results of it. But they got to do it at some point. Because, like, it also blows my mind that with as bad as some of the teams are, that they're, like, for sure gung-ho going to expand by two teams. Like, you want to add two teams? Where's the talent coming from?
But you know what? I would argue this, too, though, all right, is – you know, Jabari hasn't had he hasn't had quite the fundamental growth issues.
Yeah.
You know, Cam Whitmore hasn't had the fundamental issues. And what's the two similarities between them? They went to reputable blue chip. Well, I don't know about blue chip, but they went to reputable.
Auburn and Villanova. Those are good
college. Well, Villanova, absolutely. That's right. He did go to Auburn.
But Auburn's pretty good.
Well, it is now, right? I mean, now that you got your boy Bruce Pearl there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know what I'm saying? So, like, those guys. And look, Bruce Pearl, say what you want. He's a damn good head coach, right? Although I think homeboy was already gone by then.
I think
Jay Wright had just left.
Yeah, I think
Villanova.
No, he would have been at Jay Wright. He would have, like, last year at Jay Wright, I think.
No, because he's a rookie now. He was a rookie because he's a rookie now. So Cam Whitmore.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember,
honestly,
he quit right before
all
these. The
you're right.
Started.
No, you're right. All these coaches quitting is such a. And we'll talk.
Except
we'll talk
for Bill
about
Self,
that a little bit.
Guess
we'll
who's
talk
still,
about that a little bit.
Guess who's still representing?
It is still, like, it's happening in the NFL right now. You've got college coaches who have good coaching positions who are bailing left and right to go somewhere else. Like, Fred and I have not had the opportunity to talk about this. The state of college sports, like, where we're at. You know, with these coaches leaving. We'll talk about that next. We're live here at X Golf and Katie. He's Fred Davis. I'm Joe George. It is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We are live.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios inside X-Golf Katy, here is your sports talk simulation, The Bullpen with Joe George.
Joe George, Fred Davis, live here at X-Golf Katy. We'll be here all day until 6 o'clock. Come hang out, hit some golf balls, get some drinks, some grub. They got a bunch of stuff going on this weekend. They're doing a scramble competition. Your scramble versus the X-Golf team. They'll have raffle giveaways going on this weekend. A driver from TaylorMade, a bag from TaylorMade, a bunch of stuff, free lessons. A great place to come hang out. It looks awesome. I cannot wait to see. Now that we're seeing people use it now.
Yeah.
And it looks so cool.
We got some people showing up.
Yeah. It looks like a very... because I'm not really familiar with the golf simulator game.
It's like one of those deals you pull down. What are those called? You know what I'm talking about?
Curtain?
Not a curtain.
Oh my God.
You're too young maybe to remember projection screen.
Oh, yeah, like in
so
school.
So you remember back
yeah.
in the day in school yeah. when you would pull it down? That's kind of what this is that's giving me vibes of. Thank you, Brian, for that. A projection screen.
Yeah, but it looks absolutely incredible. So we'll be out here till 6. Come hang out with us. If you missed the announcement earlier, our new lineup will start on Monday. John and Lance from 7 to 10. Del Olele Show will be from 10 to 12. I'm probably saying his name wrong. Sorry, Del.
No, that's it. Del Olele.
I always forget how to say
pound
it.
Pound for pound. Let me tell you about Del. The pound for pound, and I'll put this up against anybody, anywhere. I don't care. Del is the best college football mind, not just in Houston, Texas, but pound for pound, one of the best anywhere.
I love talking college football.
There's nothing you can't throw at Del that he won't have an answer for.
And then Paul and I will be doing Glant and George from 12 to 3, and then we'll have the Killer Bees from 3 to 6. That all starts on Monday when Paul returns from Mexico.
Couple tweaks, nothing crazy.
Yeah, nothing too crazy going on.
Who's the one in the two between you and Glant?
I think it's going to be me.
You're running the ship.
Yeah.
Does Paul know this?
It was his idea.
Really? Paul wants to play the two, huh?
I told Paul. I was like, Paul, you had a show before. You know, I had a one-hour show. I would do like 2 or 3 days a week. You know, I have no ego. I'm very open to whatever you want to do. And he, based on some shows he's done in the past with guys like Jeremy Branham when we were in Vegas, it sounds like he's going to be the two guy.
Okay.
I told Paul the only rule with the show is that while I might not be able to participate, Tucker Paulson still has to make appearances.
Well, sure.
He still has to be Paul.
Are you guys still going to tell everybody you're the most interactive show in Houston?
We're still going to try to be.
Okay. All
yeah,
right.
We're still going to try to be. It'll be a little bit different. But
I love when he says that.
Yeah, we'll still make sure.
That's my favorite part of
it. I might start the show and say everything, but he just has to say that part.
Most interactive show in sports.
But speaking of college football, we were just talking about, Jay Wright came up.
Dell, if you're listening, 713-780.
713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line, the text line. You guys are always welcome into the show when we are here with you. And like I said, we're at X-Golf Katy. But, we've got all these coaches bailing.
Yeah.
Like, whether they're bailing from being head coaches like Chip Kelly to go be an OC at Ohio State.
Right.
You've got the head coach at Boston College is now the defensive coordinator for the Packers. Nick Saban
retired.
That
move wasn't – I didn't feel like that move was as audacious as the Chip Kelly.
It's a huge upgrade. You're at Boston College.
Boston College sucks. With all due respect, God forbid if you're from Boston College. Who's the last good football player Boston College put out? Mike Mamula? 1992, Combine Fanatic?
Matt Ryan?
Did he go to Boston College?
Luke Kuechly? Was Luke Kuechly Boston College?
Was he? 713-780.
Yeah, Boston College is not exactly like churning out like.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure. I mean, weren't they involved in a point-shaving scandal at one point, too?
Zay Flowers? Question mark?
There you go. I think Zay did go to Boston
College. So, it's not – you're right. It's not, a big-time job. So, him going to the Packers is a huge upgrade for him. But, you have Nick Saban retire.
Yeah.
We've had Roy Williams, Coach K, Jay Wright. All these coaches are bailing.
In fairness, those guys were old.
They are. But I think it is still clear that, they are leaving because of NIL. Mm-hmm. They are leaving because of transfer portal. Mm-hmm. They are leaving because, whether it's in basketball or in football, they are leaving for what has happened – to the state of college athletics. And it's like what we're talking about with the developmental system. I think this one's easier to fix. Honestly, I think college sports is fixable. To me, it's really simple. You pay the athletes. You make one big, super conference. Well, I know that's what Chip Kelly suggested.
Made perfect sense for football.
64 teams, just basketball, just football. And then you take all the other sports and you put them back in regional territories. So you have all the college baseball teams in Texas in one conference. You regionalize college athletics and everything.
Well, just keep the conferences as they are, right? I mean, look.
Yeah, what they were.
Look, the Pac-12 made sense. Oops, sorry about that. The Pac-12 made sense.
Now we got the Pac-2.
Hold on. I think I hit it.
No, we're okay, Fred. We're still on the air.
I can't hear.
Oh, okay. I'll fix it.
Chip Kelly made all the sense in the world when he talked about how, look, there's no reason why the Arizonas shouldn't be playing the USC's or the UCLA's of the world, right? Like, that just makes all the sense in the world. Football is its own different beast. We've already come to accept that. There we go. Is its own different beast. And so, you know, and look, is anybody going to have an issue if we just put, you know, let the conferences as is and then let football be its own entity?
Yeah.
No one would care.
What about basketball? Would you want basketball to be like, because it's not the money generator that that football is, it still, to me, is such clearly far and above everything else that I think, like, football, it still does belong in its own category.
See, I would argue that you could leave it as is with the conferences. And the reason why I say that is because suddenly U of H fans have become, you know, it's a different world now, right? Where in the Big 12 versus what the AAC was. And so you're seeing a better brand of basketball. You're seeing, look, 2 weeks from tomorrow, you got KU coming into Houston, right?
Can't wait.
And that probably, you know, knock on wood, I won't knock on this anymore because I've already knocked one wire loose. That's going to be the bit, you know, that might be the game of the year right there, right? So from a basketball perspective, it's just so much, and I heard this, I think it was Carrington Harrison that said this. Basketball is so much more regionalized.
Sure.
Right? So just leave it. And you know, look, do we love it when the big-time blue chip programs get together? 100%. But here's the thing. Do I like watching Baylor U of H versus, you know, U of H Tulane in basketball? Absolutely. I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah, I do think that, like, when all the conference realignment started, it's chaotic. Like, what has happened now with with USC and UCLA, Washington,
That's
Oregon
stupid.
Joining the Big Ten is still so bizarre to me. I will say the one conference that I think that came out the best was the Big 12. And really, from a basketball perspective, for
hands
sure,
down.
It's going to be everything we used
Wait
to talk about
year.
With, exactly, the Big East, you know, what the Big East used to be,
what the ACC used to be.
Like, yeah. That's what the Big 12 is now. Like, if you could give me any bet I could go to, you know, Vegas and make right now.
Go to Louisiana, just down the street.
That's true. I just want to take Big 12 versus the field. Like, that's
this
what
year?
I want. Yeah. Like, the NCAA
I'm
champion will come from the Big 12 this year.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Nah, I think it's UConn's to lose.
You still think it's UConn?
Dude, UConn's tough.
Nah, no, and U of H still, I just feel like it's
– I hope problem with U of H. Look, for all you U of H people out there, I mean, you guys know I love you, okay? My daughter's a junior at U of H. Let's call it what it is, and this is the problem with Kelvin Sampson every single season, all right? And this is what happens in the NCAA tournament. There's going to be a game where they can't hit a bucket to save their life.
That's for sure.
That's going to happen. I mean, it's as right as rain. Okay, like that's going to happen. You just hope that it's in either the Elite Eight or the you don't want it to be there, but you don't want it to happen to you in the first or second round. Look, you know what you're going to get with Jamal Shedd. You know what you're going to get with LJ Cryer. Mm-hmm. All right, what you need in the NCAA tournament to make a run is when one of your guys is having an off night, and that's going to happen, you need the third or fourth or some dude off the bench who comes out of nowhere and has the night of his life and keeps you afloat. That's the recipe in the NCAA tournament. It happens unless you just get a group like UConn last year where
they're just
every single game, them boys were just on one. And look, there's nothing to suggest. Even after they got their asses beat by Creighton the other night, and Creighton couldn't miss to save their life. They were at home, and, you know, I mean, hell, they're the 20th ranked team in the country already. But to be battle tested, I love me some Danny Hurley. I think, or was it Don Dave, whichever Hurley it is. You know, to see what he's done with that UConn team. Look, I you know me, I'm a Jayhawk till the end. If I got to take a pick right now, I'm going with UConn.
I do feel like we are built up for a very, very good March Madness.
And the NCAA tournament, yeah.
Because, like, even though you're right, UConn probably, like, there's a reason why they are the favorite. There are still so many teams. Purdue, I mean, we saw Arizona lose last night. Like
Purdue, I can see Purdue getting beat in the first round.
Well, it's Purdue. We call them Purdue in the Midwest.
As you should.
Yeah, because they don't do anything.
Dude, Matt Painter, God bless him. You know what? Look, Matt Painter.
Low expectations school.
I'll tell you what. Matt Painter is the Marty Schottenheimer of college basketball.
Ooh.
What do I mean by that? I'm glad you asked. great in the regular season, dog bleep in the postseason. You ain't winning nothing with Matt Painter.
No, you're not. All right, we are going to dive into a topic that, you know, I don't even know how Fred will feel about this.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if he's ever put sticks on ice. I don't know if he's ever watched hockey. But
I've been to one game in my life.
Tillman Fertitta went on the record with Bloomberg about bringing an NHL team to Houston.
Yeah.
Will it work? We talk about it next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Back to two guys who can't get out of the virtual sand trap without compromising their already questionable morals. Live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios inside the golf simulators of X-Golf Katy, it's the Bullpen.
Joe George, Fred Davis coming to you live from X-Golf Katy. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. One thing we have not talked about yet that we have not, here at X-Golf is that they do events. They do parties. Small birthday parties, corporate events. They can host you here, so if you got something where it's big or small, you guys can come here. You just reach out to them via their website. They can host you, so you want to get together 10 of your buddies and have a little night out. If you're, you know, whether you're turning 21 or 50, like this is the place for you. So
or 43, either way.
43, is that how old you are, Fred Davis?
I'll be 43 in 2 weeks.
When's your birthday?
2 weeks from today, March 8th.
March 8th? My son's birthday is March 6th.
That's a real one right there. Pisces, you guys know the drill. It's Pisces season. Stand up. You guys know what time it is.
Is that what my son is? Because I honestly have no idea.
He's absolutely. And that's the same birthday as Shaquille O'Neal. So shout out to little George there.
Well, he'll be like a third of the size.
Probably. Well, that's, there's a good chance
I don't think he's going to reach the 6-foot mark even because I'm 5'6". So the one thing I can give my son so much. I can't give him height.
You don't know that.
I hope I can.
Look
what
these kids are eating these days, bro.
That's true.
He could be 6'5" for all you know.
So one thing, too, with the NFL that I want to mention when we talk about the NHL stuff that's happening around Houston, what Tillman Fertitta said, we did just get the official cap numbers, it looks like, or the franchise tag numbers. So the franchise tag for a quarterback this year is going to be $38 million. Now, I don't think there's anyone that would be tagged, so I don't expect that one. The running back is going to be $11.95.
Ooh, no, no, I could see the – if I was the –
The Vikings?
No. Because I don't think they can tag.
I think you're right.
I would tag Mayfield.
You would tag him at $39 million?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, he was a good quarterback.
Oh,
last year,
I definitely think he earned himself. I would be surprised, honestly, if he just didn't get a contract from them. Like a 2 to 3 year contract where it's not that much money. It gives you some flexibility. Because I think he did good enough. And I still think Tampa Bay's probably the favorite to win that division. Like, we'll see what Atlanta does this offseason at quarterback. If that
that's the sleeping giant. I mean, if I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm kicking the tires, or I'm vice versa. I'm kicking the tires long and hard if I'm the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, look, the Atlanta Falcons are a quarterback away from being a problem in the NFC.
Would you go if – okay, so you're the Atlanta Falcons. You can have –
although Raheem Morris,
that hire surprised me.
I'm a little leery of my boy Raheem. God
so,
bless him.
So Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Russell's just hoping to get on a team.
Or trade for Justin Fields. If you're the Atlanta Falcons, which path do you want to take?
I would. Who's their offensive coordinator down in Atlanta?
I don't know who they hired.
All right, 713. I don't know who their offensive coordinator is either. We'll look that up. I guess it would depend on who the offensive coordinator is. Justin Fields is such an interesting case because he's the dude who on
it's Dirk Cutter.
You know, I tell you what, these same dudes just keep flying. Here's what I want to know.
Oh, no, sorry. No, it's Zach Robinson. That was an old story. Zach Robinson.
Here's what I want to know. Explain to me how Zach Robinson, I wouldn't know Zach Robinson if he came in here right now. Explain to me how Zach Robinson has a job and Eric Bieniemy doesn't.
The Eric Bieniemy thing is one of the more surprising things in the NFL. Like, you know? To not get a head coaching job, I think, is one thing. But to now be in a position where the rumors are he's either going to take a year off or he's going to rejoin the Chiefs and be underneath both Andy Reid and Matt Nagy is kind of mind-blowing to me. They're like, he's going to be a quarterback coach?
We'll see. And then I'd heard that, and of course, you know, Twitter's a cesspool at times. I'd seen where he was going to come back and be the OC. So, you know, look, I don't think any Chiefs fan would quibble at all about having Nagy and Bieniemy be co-offensive coordinators.
Well, it's frankly, it's why the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL. It's not just because of the talent they have. What the Chiefs have done, the reason why they're in such a better place, I think, than everyone else in the NFL, is they have all these really good coordinators who are failed head coaches. Like you have Spagnuolo. Now, Dave Taub never was a head coach, but like I remember when he was with the Bears as their special teams coach.
I was going to say, he's a hell of a special teams coach.
He was interviewing for head coaching positions every single year. They thought he was going to get that job. He never did. Now you have Matt Nagy, potentially Eric Bieniemy. Like, you have these guys who have flopped out and who probably won't get other chances. Like, they're not – like, it's not Bobby Sloak. Bobby Sloak will not be the offensive coordinator of the Texans next year. Like, but like they have
unless
these,
he pulls a
Ben Johnson again.
Yeah, Ben Johnson, exactly.
But like the Chiefs, like they what's so special about them is like they have all these coaches who have kind of flopped as head coaches and other positions, but there are great coaches, and so they have nowhere else to go, so they just keep staying and building and building and building, and they have no turnover, and it's incredible.
Spags, I'll give him a little bit of a break, only because, I mean, what do you have, a broke-down Sam Bradford? Look, we forget, like, this is how old Spags is. And this is how we forget that he was a head coach with the St. Louis Rams, okay? That's where he was at. And like I said, that was when you had, broke-down Sam Bradford playing quarterback. So, and he's actually, interestingly enough, he actually said he wants to be a head coach again, so I'll be curious how that turns out. But homeboy's like 64, 65 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's as much about him saying he wants to do it.
Versus
but, I mean,
actually doing it.
Dude, ain't nobody hired.
So some of the other franchise tags, running back's going to be 11.95. Which is an interesting number, I can't imagine, like, Saquon. I guess he would get a second tag.
Okay, let me ask you this, because we talked about the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
That's been a name that's been thrown around a lot as being a potential Texan.
I think Saquon will be the only running back on the market that gets a really good contract.
And even then, I don't know that I'd give him anything crazy.
Yeah, I think that the running back market's really fascinating because there's so much talent
that
it's going to dilute the market value. So, like, you have... Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley. There's some people are in the belief that the New Orleans Saints are gonna cut Alvin Kamara for a big cap space move, so like he could come into the picture. Devin Singletary, who had a good year, like so. I think in a perfect world, I would love the Houston Texans to sign both Derrick Henry and Devin Singletary. I think that you can get the price of those two guys for one Saquon Barkley. And then you have two very different running backs. So like I would be I'm all in on Saquon if it's below $10 million.
Yeah.
But I just think there's other I think he's washed up, probably Austin Eckler. But if it's a $5 million contract, I would still take a flyer on him. Like Singletary and Austin Eckler. I would feel great about the Texans backfield if you had the last run of Austin Eckler with you.
If you offered Saquon a 3-year $30 million deal, would you be okay with it?
As long as the back end's not guaranteed, yes.
Okay.
Because, like, but he's still, honestly, even if it was, yes. Like,
he's been in football purgatory. Let's call him what it is, bro.
He's been awesome.
The Giants are garbage.
Yeah,
okay.
He's been so good. Like, he came back from injuries. Like, what he would bring to CJ Stroud. Yeah, but, like, it's the NFL. You know, it's like all these running backs are getting hurt.
Yeah, but he gets hurt a lot, though. I mean, for a guy, let's call it what it is. For tell you what, Derrick Henry doesn't get hurt like he does.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Your boy Devin Singletary doesn't get hurt like he does.
But the nice thing about Saquon, like my hope,
but they
be,
use him a lot though,
exactly.
Right? Like that's the deal. You come to the Texans,
you're not going to be that guy.
You're a cog now, right? I mean,
yeah.
Look at the end of the day, and on top of that, I mean, you know, CJ. Now all of a sudden, you got CJ Stroud, you got Saquon Barkley in the backfield. Maybe you go re-sign Dalton Schultz. Like you said, they're going to go out and get a couple wide receivers on top of things. You had Nico Collins, who's blossomed into, in my mind, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Now the million-dollar question is going to be, what does he do for an encore? That's one of the things that I'm so fascinated by. Because, look, you ain't surprising anybody anymore.
Nope.
Okay? Like, everybody, nobody cared last year because it was like, all right, this dude's been a bust the first 2 years. Now you're that dude. Now you're a bona fide one, maybe a 1B, but definitely a 2, so we know that much about you. What does Nico do after, you know, and let's call it what it is. How did Nico not win Most Improved Player of the Year?
Honestly.
Seriously?
Who won it? I don't even remember.
It's Joe Flacco.
No, he won Comeback Player.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he won it over.
Wait, maybe they don't have. Oh, no. Maybe they don't have a Most Improved Player.
Someone. I think they might still
have.
I think, honestly, it could have been Baker for all I know.
You know what? I think it was.
Yeah, no.
I think you're exactly right.
Joe Flacco won Comeback Player of the Year over a player that died.
That's what it was.
What'd you think about that?
I didn't have a problem with it. What did DeMar Hamlin do? God bless him, but I mean, what did he do?
Yeah. So this is my issue with the DeMar Hamlin.
Two snaps, and oh, by the way, a horrific punt, fake punt.
Yeah, well, that one didn't count. That was in the playoffs. The votes were done before that. This is my issue with the DeMar Hamlin thing. I would have been fine if they won it, but if you want to go like the sentimental route for an award like that, you have to do it for others. And I think the fact that like you have this award and these people being nominated for it.
Yeah.
How about the guy who beat cancer, who actually contributed, not in a big way.
Who's that?
John Mechie. Like, John Mechie wasn't up for the award.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, it's a dumb thing. I know, but like.
But blame
like
the, you got to blame the Texans for that.
Yeah, probably not.
You got to blame it. I mean, look, it's no different than, you know, when we talk about a Heisman campaign, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If the Texans, look, our boy beat cancer. Look at him now. He's the
honestly,
number 3 wide receiver.
I would bet you DeMar Hamlin was kind of happy he didn't win the award. Like, to be honest, like, I think he just wants to, like, live his life, be a football player. He was here in Houston last week. He was in the
I was going to say, he was at the Cactus Jack or Travis Scott, whatever.
All right, we are gonna take a break.
One hour in the books.
We'll talk about Nico Collins. We got the franchise tag numbers at tight end. So Dalton Schultz, $12.3 million. If you want to tag him, that's the price. We'll get to the NHL stuff a little bit later, potentially coming to Houston. He's Fred Davis. I'm Joe George. We are live from X Golf in Katy on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.